He wants us to follow the example that he and his disciples gave us of serving him. We don't see that much, do we, around us? But God, believe me, God is going to bring it back to that, where people are here for the purpose of his kingdom. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be gathered unto you. Why? He said, the pagans, they seek after those things. You don't have to do that. You seek first the kingdom of God. That means you, the number one thing that you want to promote in this world is God's kingdom. Whatever form that be, you know. It doesn't matter whether it's witnessing to your neighbor, whether it's reading your Bible, whether it's teaching your children, whether it's going to your work and being a good witness for Jesus Christ, whether it's supporting your church, whether it's all these things. The number one thing in the devoted Christian's life, and there's no other kind of Christian, by the way, is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, Jesus told us first, get the board out of our eye. So, I mean, some churches want to keep you so busy serving God that you don't have time to get prepared to serve God. But Jesus said, get the board out of your eye, then you can see good to get the mote out of your brother's eye. So that's part of serving God, too. That's part of a discipleship, too, you see. We have to go to the Word. Don't go to the church. Go to the Word to find out what it is to lead a sacrificial life for the Lord. There's no other kind of Christian. You can't be a disciple unless you lose your life, Jesus said. That's a deception. This have a good time in the world. God put you here to have a good time and just enjoy self. No, that's a false gospel. And those are lying demons that say that. We are here to please God. If you please God, you will be pleased. You will be happy and you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory, okay? It'll be worth it if you serve God, right? All right, let me show you another place of sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 13. This is very important here. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father. That word, homologeo, confess. Homologeo means to speak the same as. We're supposed to say what Jesus said. We're supposed to say what his disciples said. Study the Bible with an eye to be an imitator of God. This is not done today. People think you're supposed to imitate your religion. If nobody else in your religion does it, then we don't have to do it. False. We need to study the Scriptures with an eye to be an imitator of Jesus and his disciples. See? Be filled with his Holy Spirit. Be empowered by his Holy Spirit to be able to do his works. Jesus pointed out the signs of a true disciple. He said, these signs will accompany them that believe. And he gave a bunch of signs there, didn't he? And some of them were supernatural signs, you know? And he said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So we're supposed to be channels of God's life to the world. Okay? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. We're supposed to be ministers to the world. We're supposed to be salt to this world. He said, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trampled under the feet of men. And that's what God's going to do with the apostate church, is he's going to trample it under the feet of men. So, when you study the Scriptures, first of all, God's got a different plan for every one of us. I mean, we're not cookie-cutter Christians, you know. I mean, God's got a different plan for every one of us. What is God's plan for you? In seeking God's will, in seeking to please the Lord, he will show you what his plan is for you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And one thing, if you don't do this right here, Hebrews 13 and 15, you will not be very effective for God. Because you've got to agree with God. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. That means you've got to say what God said and what God says. You've got to say that. Don't say what your old man thinks and what the world thinks and what religion thinks. Say what God says, okay? An oracle of God. And he says here, through him, it's through God's power, by the way. Don't condemn yourself if you're not doing this. Go to God. Ask him to put a watch on your mouth. Ask him to put his words in your mouth and his words in your heart. That was his promise in the new covenant. He says, I'll write my words upon their heart and put them in their minds. See, that's God's promise to us. Believe him to do that. He'll do it. Correct your mouth. Correct your mind. We talked about imaginations, right? How imaginations destroy people. Well, have the imagination of God. see Jesus in the mirror, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And if you do, His glory is going to be in you. Okay, that's the way faith works. Well, He says, through Him, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of the lips which makes confession, there's that word again, to His name. Confession to His name. That means to speak the same as. We've got to confess Christ's name. That don't mean say Jesus in front of everybody. It means to confess His name. It means to come into agreement with His name. It means to confess His name to the people around you. His nature, His character. God wants to see coming out of your mouth His nature and His character and His thinking, you know. Because if not, I mean, you're not going to be much of a witness. You're not going to be able to have the power of God. The power of God is based in us agreeing with God. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession, the same word, is made unto salvation. So you've got to have God's salvation. It's going to come out of your mouth. And when you give it to others, it's going to come out of your mouth. You ever notice when Jesus gave His salvation to others, whether it was in the form of healing or deliverance or salvation for the soul, it came out of His mouth. He spoke it. Jesus said, if you say anything and you believe it will come to pass, then you'll have whatsoever you've spoken. So here's a place that God says a sacrifice is what you say. What you speak is a sacrifice for the Lord. You know, when you speak contrary to what your old nature teaches you and is screaming in your ear, that's a sacrifice, isn't it? And especially when you speak it in front of pagans or you speak it in front of carnal Christians, they make fun of you. They'll persecute you for agreeing with the Word, won't they? Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes you get into a fiery trial because of what you say. And I know that you got to watch what you say sometimes. You know, you don't want to throw pearls before swine, but at the same time, you got to confess the Lord in the situation. That's a good balance to come to.
Well, look at one more verse before we go back to Daniel. Hosea chapter 14, right after Daniel, Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. He said, take with you words and return unto the Lord. And say unto him, take away all iniquity and accept that which is good. So will we render as bullocks, or as sacrifices, right? The offering of our lips. So will we render as bullocks the offering of our lips. It's very important to God that we give a sacrifice of our mouth. So you can see something that there is a continual for the disciple. Not for what we've loosely called a Christian, but for the disciple, there is a continual burnt offering. There has always been a burnt offering. That's why it's called a continual burnt offering. It's always been a burnt offering. So we don't have to have a sacrifice that starts at the beginning of the tribulation and is canceled in the middle. The Bible don't ever say that. See, they're adding something to the Word. It doesn't say that. If it's the Jews you're talking about, which we've proven that it's not, because the Jews are a sign. I'm not saying some things aren't going to happen with the Jews, but they are a sign to the Gentiles. They are a sign to the church, let me say. The church, okay? Back in 9:27, He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. How can the beast do that? How can he cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease? First of all, as I pointed out to you a while back, the beast in Daniel 9:26 was in Jesus' day. He's the one that destroyed the temple. He's the one that killed the Jews. But the same beast in 27, it says, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. So the beast is also alive in our day, 1900 and some odd years later. Because the Bible says the beast comes from the bottomless pit. He's not a man. He's a spirit that indwells a body. Daniel also talks about in Daniel chapter 10 how that in the year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that's the man that ruled over Persia, the prince of Persia restrained the Lord who was coming to him in verse 13, chapter 10, verse 13. So you've got the king of Persia and the prince of Persia. And he's talking about in Daniel 9:26-27, a prince that destroyed the temple. And a prince that's going to come and make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. What prince is he talking about? He's talking about the principality that wrestled and kept Daniel's heavenly visitor from coming to him. The principality. And who restrained that principality? Michael, the chief prince, chapter 10 and verse 13. So you know Michael the archangel is a principality for God. Who's he wrestling with? He's wrestling with another spirit that's a principality for the devil. And Daniel is prophesying of the Roman Empire in Jesus' day, the prince that came. He wasn't talking about Prince Titus. He was talking about the principality over the Roman Empire that came and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. And he talked about there were two more princes in Daniel 10 and verse 20. The prince of Greece, the prince of Persia, and the prince of Greece. Why did he say that? Because following the prince of Persia, the Medo-Persian Empire, came the Grecian Empire. Right? Alexander the Great. He wasn't talking about Alexander the Great when he called the prince of Greece. He was talking about a principality. And following the Grecian Empire was the Roman Empire that he was prophesying about in Daniel 9 and 27. The Roman Empire. The prince that came and destroyed the temple and destroyed the people and destroyed the sacrifice. Okay? That same principality is alive today in the people, and he's going to make a covenant with many for 1 week. And like I said, it's not going to be with the Jews. They're expecting this covenant to be made with the Jews. But the 70th week is not determined upon the Jews. It's determined upon the church. The covenant that he's made, I think he's already made it. I think he made it. He's made it for the last several years. It's actually to go into effect in June of 2000. Because the UN is gathered together. The UN is the only government that is over the whole world and has every nation in it. It's the only beast that incorporates all the people of the world, the only one on the earth. And the UN gathered together all the false religious leaders of this world, the hierarchy of this world, in the UN, and they made an agreement in June of 2000 to form a religion called the UR, United Religions. And you know what they're going to do with that agreement? What may sound like some really good things. They're going to guarantee the individual conscience. They're going to guarantee you a right to your individual conscience. And that sounds pretty good. For the disciple of Christ, that's good. Because you can serve God the way you feel like you should serve God. That's your burnt offering, right? To be able to serve God and follow His Spirit the way you want to serve God and follow His Spirit, the way He wants you to serve Him, right? That's your continual burnt offering. And that sounds good, and in a way it is good, and in another way it's not good, because they're also going to guarantee anybody that wants to come into your church can serve God any way they want to serve God too. They can believe what they want to believe, and they can act the way they want to act, according to their conscience. You know what that's going to do? That's going to totally corrupt the church. Because what they've done is made an agreement between the harlot and the church when they do that, such a thing. Between false religion and the truth. In Constantine's day, it's exactly what they did. They made a covenant between the true church and the false religions, and they made them all come together, and they made them sit in unity. And they gave them authority and power and totally corrupted the false church of that day. They totally corrupted it. As Constantine just did what history is going to prove again. And that is that they're making a covenant with many. Notice it doesn't say that he made a firm covenant with many for 1 week. It doesn't say with the Jews. It doesn't say between the Jews and the Arabs. It doesn't say that. You have to say what it says. You can't add to it and take away from it. He said, with many for 1 week. Now, the beast, which, or the Antichrist if you prefer, which is every spirit, according to John, that doesn't confess that Jesus Christ has come in their flesh, it's he that's in the world. That's what John describes the Antichrist as. He that's in you, there's only two, he that's in you and he that's in the world. And John says he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Christ and Antichrist. Christ that's in you, Antichrist that's in the world. Well, Antichrist in the world, whose head is the UN, has already made a covenant with many that's going to take effect in June of 2000, called the UR. They're going to guarantee your religious rights, but halfway through this thing, they're going to take away your religious right to serve God in the crucified life. And they're going to demand that you do things their way. You know why? On the second 3.5 years, it's going to be on the 10 horns, the 10 kings. They're going to rule. Instead of every nation being a United States of the world, being a democratic world, they're going to turn all the authority over to 10 kings. In other words, we're going to lose democracy halfway through this tribulation. The beast is going to, the world is going to give up their democracy. They're going to give their authority unto the beast. And the 10 heads, the 10 kings, are going to rule. Guess what? When they rule, they're going to take away religious rights from the Christians. Christians are going to be ruled. I mean, because the only group in all of these religious groups that's formed together who cannot give up their doctrine and stay what they are is Christians. You have to give up serving the Lord your way in order to serve their generic God that they're forming. And if you won't do it, and true Christians won't do it, then they're going to make war on you. See, the beast knows this, that all the wars in this world are because of religion. And so they're trying to bring religion together. And they're trying to cause the religious people to stop fighting with other religious people. And so they're going to try to conform religion to this unity, this peace. But you know what? You cannot conform true Christianity to anything. It is the most narrow-minded people on the face of the earth. And they say that, don't they? And they're right. Christians are narrow-minded because Jesus is the only way. The only thing is, true Christians are never going to give up their narrow-mindedness. And the whole world is going to hate their narrow-mindedness. Why won't you give in a little bit here so that you can have peace with these people? Listen, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, the Bible teaches us. Christians are narrow-minded. They have to be narrow-minded. Because God is narrow-minded. God is narrow-minded. Read this book. Christians who haven't figured that out yet, they're not disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is narrow-minded. It's not the broad road, it's the narrow road. What happens when he causes the continual burnt offering to be taken away? The Bible says, the abomination that maketh desolate is set up. You know what that is? It's the beast ruling in the holy place. Not the holy place of that original temple, the holy place of his new temple made without hands. When the beast rules in the holy place, that's what the mark of the beast does, you know. Mark of the beast. Remember we talked a while back about how the mark of the beast brought forth the image of the beast in people. How do we get the image of Christ? 2 Corinthians 3:18. By beholding him in the mirror, we're transformed into his image from glory to glory. By beholding him in the mirror. Well, guess what? If you behold an antichrist in the mirror, which is in the place of Christ, anti means in the place of, you're going to be transformed into that image. Then who's going to be ruling in the holy place? That's right, antichrist, the beast ruling in the holy place. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that the beast sits in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. You know what happens when your flesh rules in your life? The exact same thing. The beast is ruling in your holy place, and he's proclaiming himself to be God. And God, Jesus said that this one was going to be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the brightness of his coming. He's going to destroy it. You know what the Bible says when he comes back? He's going to come back and a sword is going to come out of his mouth. And he's going to destroy the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of captains, the flesh of the rich, the bond. So he's coming out the flesh, folks. He's coming to destroy the old man that rules in the holy place. Every temple on this earth was made to be ruled by God Almighty. Created. He's the creator. In him we live and move and have our being, the Bible says. We all mankind was created to serve him. Not that everybody is elect, you understand, but we were created to serve him. And their rebellion is the beast ruling in the holy place. Well, when the continual burnt offering is taken away, who is it going to be taken away from? Well, the only one they could take the continual burnt offering away is the one that they set up the abomination of desolations in. You know what? Those two witnesses in the book of Revelation, they didn't stop their sacrifice. They sacrificed till they died. Nobody stopped them from sacrificing their life for the Lord, from serving the Lord. You know what? They can put you in prison, but they can't stop you from sacrificing. You just go right straight to the heavenly Jerusalem, you know? Hey, you know what? But there is a great falling away the Bible talks about. That's the people in whom the sacrifice ceases because they take the mark of the beast and become the image of the beast. That's those people. And then the beast rules in their holy place. All this comes from the Bible. All that fantasy that we've been taught for years, none of it comes from the Bible. It don't come from the Bible. It's not there. This comes from the Bible. The verses of the Bible teach you these things. See, the mark of the beast, the mark in the book of Revelation, the word is karagma. And it is the act of being imprinted by a character, like the character on a typewriter. The character on a typewriter makes an image. And that word for image is icon. The Word of God is called His character. Jesus Christ is the character of God. And as we behold the character in the mirror, we become the icon. It is Jesus, the Word, that creates the icon, the image of Christ. And His people are His image. That's what the Bible teaches. Okay? The beast is formed the same way. If you look at a false Jesus, and believe me, in the days ahead, people are going to give you a generic believe everything Jesus. Everybody's Jesus. Buddha's Jesus. You know, all these people, they're just Jesus in a different form, in a different religion. Have you ever heard of that garbage? This unity Jesus? Oh, yeah. Well, that's the kind of Jesus that they're going to promote in the future. A Jesus that gets along with any religion, anybody, can accept any God. That's the kind of Jesus they're going to promote. But if you look at that Jesus and you accept the doctrine of that Jesus, guess what you're going to be formed into? The image of Antichrist. Because that's who that is. That is a Christ who takes the place of the true Christ. Their doctrinal Jesus, their teaching of Jesus, their vision of Jesus is a false Jesus. The Apostle Paul warned us about another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. The spirit of what? Antichrist. Another Jesus is an anti-Jesus, an antichrist. And another gospel, which is another good news, and another spirit, which is this antichrist spirit. So you know what? The person who is the servant of God is not going to be permitted by the beast. They're going to make war on them. Why? Because they will not conform to the image of Antichrist. They will not take the mark of the beast, which is their doctrine and their thinking. They will not accept it. They will not conform. They will keep on sacrificing. And so they're going to make war against these people in order to move them out of the way. But the disciples of Christ will never have an abomination of desolations in their temple. That'll never happen. The abomination of desolation is when the beast rules in your holy place. When you've taken the mark and become the image. When you've accepted this Jesus because it's profitable. Believe me, the world is going to make it profitable for you to accept their Jesus. Because they're going to put all kind of mess on you if you don't accept their Jesus. In Russia, during the Bolshevik Revolution, that country was basically Eastern Orthodox. It's kind of like Catholic is in the West. It was the Eastern Catholic Church, okay? That was their doctrine. When they came in, they made no noises like they were going to do away with religion. They used religion. They used religion to come to power. When they came to power, when they knocked off the Tsar and his family, they came to power. Gradually, they started replacing the leadership of religion with their own leaders, their own indoctrinated people that spoke their line, the party line. And you know what happened? At that time, the true church, the true disciples of Christ, who wouldn't bend to the world, they went underground. But you had the above ground church, which accepted these leaders, these stooges that the Bolsheviks put in there, that the communists put in there. They accepted these people. Gradually, these people demanded more and more of the above ground church until it wasn't any kind of a church left that had any power or preached the blood of Jesus or the gospel. They couldn't. It was against the law for them to preach any of that. They took more and more bites out of their religion. You know? And the underground church was the only one that kept on preaching the truth, the gospel, and they were dying for their faith. These people, the underground church. The above ground church was legal. The underground church was illegal. See, history is just repeating itself. The same thing is fixing to happen. They're going to put their leaders over God's people, and those that begin to see what's happening are going to come out from among them and be separate and keep on with their continual burnt offering and not permit the abomination of desolations, because the abomination of desolation was in the temple. You know what the abomination of desolation was back in Antiochus Epiphanes' day? He set up a false Jesus in the sanctuary. It was a statue of Jupiter in the sanctuary. And slaughtered a pig, a sacrifice that was not legal. See, if you have a, in your life, if your sacrifice is not a scriptural sacrifice, it's a fleshly sacrifice. It's kind of like the difference between Cain and Abel. Cain brought a worldly sacrifice. God didn't accept it. It grew out of the earth. It was plant-like. It came out of the earth, grew out of the earth, out of the flesh, so to speak. It was a sacrifice of the flesh. But Abel brought a sacrifice that was well-pleasing unto God. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice, and he didn't accept Cain's. That's the same that's going to happen in these days. God doesn't accept everybody's sacrifice. Not everybody has a continual burnt offering. If you're serving yourself, you're serving the beast. If you're serving God, then you have a continual burnt offering. Because if you're serving God, the old man's dying. And the new man, and the inner man, the spiritual man, is being renewed day by day, the Bible says. So there's a man that's burning up and dying. The outer man is burning up and dying and passing from the scene. But the inner man is growing stronger and stronger and taking his place, you see. That's the sacrifice. Well, in Russia, it happened exactly the same way as it's going to happen in these days, because history just keeps on repeating itself. The beast used religion to come to authority. After he came to authority, he didn't need religion anymore. He cut them off. Started burning the churches down. Started taking over the churches and moving the municipalities into them and different things. Just took over the churches. Very few churches were left in Russia. They are at this time rebuilding a lot of churches, but that's not going to last long either. They're going to take them too. That's just a short little window that's open for a short time. But the same thing is going to happen in the very near future. Listen, Uncle Sam, worldwide Uncle Sam is going to take over the church. He's going to take over religion. And you're not going to be able to lead your sacrificial life according to the scriptures. You're going to have to do it according to Uncle Sam, you see. And believe me, America's going to be part of it too. He said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. For my name's sake. Why? Because when the world hates you, you run to God. When the world loves you, you live in the world. When the world loved the Israelis, when they lived in Egypt, they lived there among them. When they got dissatisfied and they got hated by the Egyptians because of the troubles that God was bringing upon the world, they had to come out and had to go through the wilderness. And that's what's fixing to happen for God's people. God's going to bring such trouble upon this world, they're going to look for the scapegoat. You know that? Hey, in the past, hadn't that happened? Listen, in Hitler's Germany, what happened? When troubles came, they had to put the problem on somebody. They picked the Jews at that time. Well, guess what? In the future, they're going to pick the Christians. You saw how radically the world turned against, at least the world in that area, turned against the Jews? They didn't think anything about exterminating millions of Jews. And the Christians that stood up for them and hit them, they exterminated them too. Believe it or not, the world has been polluted from what's come out of them. The true gospel hadn't come out of them. God's argument with Babylon is that she polluted the world. God's gospel hadn't been coming out of America for a long time. People say, oh, the gospel goes from America to all the world. No, the gospel's been coming from the world back to America. It's been the other way around. I mean, things have got turned around now, folks, you know. There's such apostasy in America, it's polluting the world. They're not seeing what true Christianity is. That's the beast ruling in the temple of God, is what they've been seeing. And America's been in the forefront of it.